Hi, and welcome to Let's Look. My name is Emily Van Meter, and today I'll be interviewing Katie Short to find out more about her artistic practice. Enjoy!
So first, just, you know, introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about you and your practice.
Yeah, so I am a practicing artist, and I work as an administrator at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. So I have a day job, and then I have my practice outside of that. And I identify as a sculptor, but I got my MFA in ceramics, but really I kind of consider myself a very deviant ceramicist. I do work with clay, but I don't work traditionally in the way that most ceramicists do, and I often use glass and I use found objects, and my process is really curiosity driven, but I like to think about it because I think that's what's needed in the studio. After you're highly educated, I feel like you have to go into the studio and kind of become an animal when you're in the studio. Forget everything you've learned, and then you can come out and you can analyze. But I like to start by just being curious about materials. And I consider it kind of a collaboration with these materials and discovery. And then the real discovery is that, you know, as I'm moving along, I am processing, okay, why am I making what I'm making? What's happening here? There are, these metaphors that kind of arise about what's happening to the objects and the materials that I'm working with. So it's, you know, I talked about my work in terms of alchemy and processes of magic, but it's also a little bit of informal science in a certain way. But it's very playful. It's like both serious and playful, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'll start.
So what are some overarching themes? Like, I know that you said a lot of it was like found object driven, and this kind of science-y magic mix. If you could just delve into that a little bit more.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking through ways of making things that start with destroying something, often. So, I would say, destruction as a means to creation, and then thinking about sort of empathizing with objects and the way that the objects around us actually influence us, and kind of making the unseen seen, I guess I would say. What I really like to do is show people something that they're familiar with in a new way. So it's kind of the surprise. Those are some themes that, like, transformation of material, and then how that relates to the transformations that we go through throughout our life, like how to recover from trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I'm destroying things, what do they become, and how can they find new meaning? In the same way that throughout our lives, you know, we have whole paradigms and belief systems that maybe we lose, and we have to figure out how to move on with our lives.
Yeah, for sure. So why is sculpture your preferred medium? Like, what drew it to you in the first place? And then what kind of keeps you within that medium?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that a lot of people think they're painters when they start going to art school. I very much did, but I think that's because we, you know, in kind of traditional pathway through education, it's painting is more accessible. I think that we do see more of that around. And, you know, when I was early in my undergraduate experience, I fell in love with sculpture because of mold making, really. And because of, like, I love the process, but really what it allowed me to do was to interact with objects themselves, instead of what I began to see painting as just being, well, okay, you're either creating an illusion, or you're just creating some image of something that's already in the world. And I was much more interested in thinking through, you know, the identity of objects themselves, and then how to get closer to, making ideas actually physical to people, mm-hmm. rather than just keeping it in that plane on the wall. That's much more interesting to me. And honestly, just from a mode of being, I'm the kind of person who I want to be doing, you know, 17 different processes throughout making something. The thought of, you know, standing in front of the same canvas for 90 hours sounds a little much to me. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what audience are you trying to reach with your work? I know that you talked a little bit about the viewer just then, but, you know, do you have a specific one in mind?
You know, I honestly try not to think about that when I'm making things. Mm-hmm. I know that many people do. And there's, you know, well, it depends. So if I have a specific project in mind, something site specific, then I'm going to be thinking about who's going to be interacting with those objects, who's going to see it, how, you know, where they might be seeing themselves in relationship to the meaning of the project. But when I'm just in my studio and I'm making objects without an intended location, you know, I try to stay out of that kind of thinking. And often, you know, I work in a way that I'll make a lot of little things that aren't quite art yet. They're like in this like pre-born phase until, you know, I generate enough that pieces come together. So I make a lot of little objects that become a larger installation. And often it's like somewhere in that, the in-between phase when maybe an opportunity for a show or a location will come up. And then I have to begin to think about, well, how do I respond to this space? And how are people going to be seeing this? So it's really never in the beginning that I'm thinking about the audience.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. I think that's really interesting that even though you like a part of your work is obviously installation, like a lot of sculpture work is, but that you don't start from that point. And I think that process is really interesting for like me as a painter who I never really have to think about installation. I have to think about where it goes on the wall and that's pretty much it. So I think that, you know, that process is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it is like, it's, you know, I'm also, so on the other hand, the materials that I work with can be, if you don't have a plan from the beginning, it can create limitations in the end that you don't want. So something that I learned really post school was that, you know, it's okay for me to play and say, okay, I'm going to start with the intention of making something that can fit on a wall. You know, limitations can be really freeing in that way. So like thinking about the format in the end as like a starting place to build the building blocks that aren't yet art. Yeah. Especially if I'm working with clay. Right now I'm actually teaching a class for people who want to put clay on the wall. And there's a lot to that. Like you have to think, well, can I build the kind of hardware aspect of it into the clay itself before it's fired? And then what happens? So, you know, there is that like thinking about the end. You can start there sometimes, but other times you just want to like begin to play without even thinking about it.
Yeah. Kind of changing paths just for a minute. So are you originally from Chicago?
No. So how to describe. When I was really young, I lived in rural Pennsylvania, but I spent most of my growing up years in Michigan. And I went to undergraduate school in Detroit, and then back to Pennsylvania, and then came to grad school in Chicago in 2010. Yeah. So I've been here for a while. I love cities though. So that's part of the, I mean, I've loved cities for a long time, but, I want to stay in Chicago at least for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than the city aspect, what draws you to stay?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I also lived a little bit in New York, during my undergrad years. So I feel like I have this background where, okay, I lived in Detroit. That's one kind of really unique city. I lived in New York. That's another very unique city. And when I moved to Chicago, I found that it was this kind of in between the two. Like, it's really livable. I liked that I didn't have to have a car when I first moved here. And it's just, you know, and I felt like I love New York. But as far as my daily experience there, it's a really intense place to live. And as far as being an artist, there's just the logistics of, well, how do you financially get by? And how do you get by if you have student debt and all of that? So there was a lot of logistics, but I also, you know, the longer I'm in Chicago, kind of like the more little secret pockets I find. And there's a significant part of my practice that, you know, involves walking around and like finding things and being inspired by place.
Yeah.
So I think there's also the logistics of the network that I have here, because I've been here for a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really helpful after grad school.
Yeah, for sure. So was there a moment in your life where you decided that art is what you wanted to pursue?
It was in high school. You know, art was really the only thing that I felt 100% like I could get into the flow in doing. I did really well in high school, but I've always been someone who liked to think really deeply. Art's always been a lot about thinking to me and kind of about creating my own world. I'm also an introvert, so I don't often come off that way, but I am. And so there's this whole meditative process about making. It was at some point during high school when I started seriously thinking about pursuing art.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you working on now? What are you currently creating?
Yeah. So I've been working on this series of light bulbs called Burnouts for several years, actually. And it's evolving. So I collect burnt out light bulbs and like friends give them to me or I find them and I slump them down. So I stick them in ceramics kilns and destroy them. And then I build new bodies for them. Like, well, actually this is one of them. It started off at like a while ago. I did my first light bulb actually probably about 10 years ago, and I never really started making a whole lot of light bulbs until the past few years. But there's this kind of idea of our worlds, like the interior spaces that we're in all the time, are really shown to us by this light that's cast through these objects that we never think about. And then when the light bulb is dead, it's like it only exists as being a burnout light bulb. Like the symbol is what it's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking of this kind of cast out object as something that could become itself or something else is what I'm doing. And you know, I started off by combining these kind of melted light bulbs with resin and turning them into these tall, narrow, stemmed, plant-like objects. And now I'm beginning to play around with, like, rubbers, which makes it, like, something totally weird and different because you have, like, a super fragile glass object on the end of this really whimsical, flaccid, kind of bouncy substance. So, you know, and the other component of this series is that each light bulb has like an ID. So I have documented like the zip code of the place where it burnt out and the date where it burnt out. And then I also have track of like when it was slumped down in a kiln and when it had a new body built for it. And I have done a series of installations where you know, these light bulbs, these burnouts are in groups together that I call cohorts, and they kind of become a new thing. So they can go through a whole life cycle after they're done being used by us. You know, and I guess this is, like, this does go to my kind of background in ceramics, where a lot of people make functional objects, and what I do is take functional objects and either break them more or make them into something else once they can no longer be functional.
Yeah. So how has your work evolved from, because I know that you said you went into your undergrad as a painter. How did it evolve from, like, painting, or, you know, what were you painting and what were you creating in that sphere? And then how did it grow into, like, this multifaceted project that you've been working on for the last couple of years?
Yeah, so when I thought of myself as a painter, I mean, I worked, at that time, I worked figuratively, and I think it was more illustrative, because I was really interested in creating, yeah, that's the thing, is I was really interested in, like, illustrating some kind of imaginary world that I would get to, you know, totally create. But that's what I started to like about sculpture, was that, you know, I could actually feel like I was in a different world, or see the world that I am in differently because of these objects. The first project I remember working on and thinking through this was a site-specific installation I did, where I had created these resin butterflies that I installed inside, like, an empty lamp post in Detroit, because there's so many places in Detroit that are overlooked or broken down, and they're like little secrets everywhere. So this was like the bottom of a lamp post that had been hollowed out, and I had hung these like clear resin butterflies inside the lamp. And the idea at the time was that these were objects that could bring something back to life. They were supposed to be magic objects. And that's, like, really the beginning of, you know, wanting to think through how you could transform something and give it new purpose.
So
you can see it on my website too. There are many other, like, steps and materials that led me to get where I am now. But that was the beginning of it.
Yeah. So, do you see yourself in your work in any way? And, like, in what ways, if you do?
Yeah. You know, what I see is, I mean, my two of my biggest values, of empathy and curiosity. So I think that's, like, it's very, my materials are very curiosity driven. And I think that ends up coming out in the way that they look in the end. People see them and they are really intrigued. And I think that translates from me. Like, I don't make anything that's not really interesting looking or confusing at the least. So there's that. And then also just the way that I think about working with materials is, it's almost personifying these objects and, like, giving them agency. I mean, that also goes back to working with materials as a ceramicist. You know, you have to collaborate with what the clay will do and what it won't do, and when you push it too far. So there's that, you know, learning to understand the material, but only being willing to control it so much, allowing it to do whatever it's going to do, whether that's shatter or get to such a temperature that it's going to fall apart. I think that there is something personality-wise. You know, there are certain kinds of artwork that have always kind of pissed me off. And maybe they less do now, but, like, if you look at, like, Richard Serra, or something with these like giant sculptures that are just like, you can't, it's confrontational, right? Like you, it's in your face and you have to look at it because it's the size of a fucking wall. You know, but I'm like, I think this is very much my personality too, is that I want to create work that draws people in. Like, I don't want to force you to look at it, but I want you to be so compelled and curious that you're going to bend down and look really close because you want to see this detail. And I think that's kind of like part of my attitude about life too, is like, guess what? I don't need to scream and shout. I can whisper and you might be more interested.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what advice would you have for either a younger version of yourself or just young women artists in general?
Be patient with yourself, and don't compare yourself to others in your process. Probably the most challenging and important thing that I have learned and am still learning is that you gotta, like, as an artist, it's pretty hard to be an artist in this country as far as like the support that is there for you, and how to sustain your practice. Like, a huge percentage of those of us who go to art school never make art again after, or stop making art, right? Like, that's pretty, and that's, you know, that's not a failure just on people who don't keep on making art. It's because there's not a lot of supports for that. And there are components of it that are socioeconomic and like the challenges of life. I think when I came out of undergrad and out of grad school, it's like school indoctrinates you into a certain way of feeling like I need to be a little art robot, and if I am not making, then I do not exist as an artist. And that's just not the case. So I think that, you know, if I were to be there to support myself when I was younger, I would tell myself, like, you need to, like, make art at the pace of life because you're a human being first.
Yeah.
You know, and there are challenges, and there's, like, getting used to the patterns, you know, depending on your situation. Like, I had friends who came out of grad school and didn't have to get jobs, right? So, like, that is a different world. Like, after undergrad, I worked in a factory night shift for a year, and then I went to grad school, and I got, you know, I got first, like, a 3-day-a-week job and was doing contracting to make money. And then after 3 years, I got a full-time job. But, like, that is, you know, and that's another challenge. Like, so if you're living the kind of life where you need to support yourself, you have to give yourself time and not compare yourself to those who have different resources than yourself. You know, and then when you're working, it's really hard to find the energy to make. So you have to allow yourself to, you know, realize, like, in, you know, right now with my job, things are a little slower in my day job during the summer. So I know that I'm going to have more space during the summer in my head to go into that making mode. But, you know, so it's like being patient with yourself, but then also when it is time, I have to have discipline and actually, like, get into the studio. And only, like, even if I can't make something today, I'm not in the right place, well, then I'm, like, cleaning my space and I'm thinking about it, you know, just doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have for you today.
Cool.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Let's Look.